G'day everyone and welcome back to the Hardball Gets podcast brought to you by Mazda and the Mazda BT50. It's the complete package. Well, this is the show where we usually look back with some of the past greats, but today we cast our eye ahead to the next generation coming through the WA ranks ahead of this year's draft. Let's get into it. Well, there's a bit of doom and gloom and uncertainty around the footy landscape at the moment, so we thought it'd be a good time to take the positives and look ahead to the next draft class and WA's top young talent on the brink of getting an AFL call-up. My name's Chris Robinson, and I'm joined by the best man in the business to chat all things junior and ammos and country footy in WA. He is the inimitable Jordan McArdle. Jordy, welcome to the pod.
G'day, mate. Good to be back on here. I feel like a lot's happened in the draft world since I was last on here.
It has. A lot's happened in the world since you were last on here, and it's just, how are you keeping up with the shifting footy and sport landscape as every day and week goes by?
I feel like it's similar to the AFL world at the moment, with national carnivals getting postponed and, you know, fixtures changing cities constantly. I mean, you look at the 19 stuff at the moment. The WA side was supposed to play against the Allies in Blacktown on July 31. That can't happen now because of COVID. Obviously, the Sydney situation's crazy, 97 cases today. Mm-hmm. That was going to get moved to Melbourne. That looked like the likely venue for that game.
Yes.
Now Melbourne's also looks situation. Now. Yeah. So
what's the latest with that? Is that still likely to go ahead in some capacity? What can you tell our listeners about that under-19s carnival that, as you say, was supposed to start in, 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, July 31's looking very shaky for WA's first game now. I think that'll likely be pushed back to later in the year. Hopefully we can, you know, get out a full carnival. The carnival obviously didn't go ahead at all last year in the 18s or the 16s. So, yeah, it'd be a shame to not see any 19s action this year. The Vic Metro and Vic Country, they've already played a game over in Melbourne before the lockdown happened. So at least we've got one game underway there. The good news is no matter whether the July 31 one goes ahead, August 7's looking good in Perth, MinRes Park against South Australia. So one of the few borders that's actually open with WA at the moment. So
yes.
Yeah, that will likely...
We'll wait for that to change as August 7 comes along, which seems like a lifetime
absolutely
away.
Yeah. So at least we're having a trial game on Saturday, so that's going to be pretty exciting. The under-19s against the under-17s. So
yes. This is absolutely, and this is most importantly, going to be streamed at thewest.com.au Saturday morning. You will be there, Jordan.
Saturday afternoon. 1 o'clock.
Okay, so excellent. Early afternoon start for that one.
It's going to be great. WA's best prospects in action. So from, you know, not only this year's crop, but the next couple of years to come as well. So, yeah, all in the one game, which is exciting.
Yeah, good. So talk us through that format, the 19s against the 17s, but the 17s will have some bigger bodies just to top them up, just to make up for a little bit of that age difference.
Yeah, that's right. One side will be purely 19s, and then the guys that don't fit into that 22, there'll be specific matchups and that sort of thing they'll look at. They'll slot into the 17s as well, which gives them that little bit more experience as well. So pretty much a full bill of health other than Neil Erasmus, the Subiaco and Hale young gun, who actually put number one in the draft power rankings last week.
Yes, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Had a good rap from Jason Norrish as well, who was on the pod a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he's been one of the real bolters from a WA point of view this year. He's got a bit of a corky, so an upper leg corky, so he's in doubt for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And a few guys are playing seniors as well. So senior waffle still takes precedence over this game, which, Jesse Motlop is one of the guys unavailable who's making his senior debut for South Fremantle. So one for Dockers fans to keep an eye out for, part of their next generation academy. So they'll have their fingers crossed he goes well, but not too well where he gets picked up in the top 20 picks because that's territory where the Dockers actually can't match the bid. So
sure.
Top 40, sorry, not top 20.
Okay, sure.
Top 20 is next year.
Okay. So, yes. Gotcha. So that's a tough mix for that's a tough balance for Dockers fans to be aiming for. We want him to look really good, but not too good, so that we don't miss out on him.
Yeah, that's right. There's already a few Dockers fans on Twitter every time I tweet about him saying,
"Just cool your
jets. Stop pumping him up. We don't want anyone else to know about him." But yeah, so he could have He nearly qualified as father-son for Port Adelaide, but his dad, Daniel, obviously played at the Power and North Melbourne, mm-hmm. 17 games shy of the 100-game qualification. So not a bad result for Dockers
Could
fans.
Could work out very, very well for Freo. So in terms of the players that will be there for the 19s, I mean, Jai Amos is a name that, if you don't already know it by now, as a casual AFL observer, you certainly soon will. He's got to be one of the marquee guys in this 19 side, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of form, there's very few players that are carrying this sort of form into this game. 41 goals, 10. So for a kid with Miss in his surname, he doesn't really do it very often. He's unbelievable in front of goals. He's a left footer. He's got a great kick on him. Just kicks him from all angles as well. He's never among the leading ball getters. He might end up with 10, 12 touches or something for the game, but mm-hmm. he's
makes him count.
Yeah, he's got multiple goals in every game so far this year. I saw him play down in Mandurah a few weeks ago. I think he ended up with 7 goals too. So yeah, really, really good body of work from him, and yeah, he's well on his way to breaking the 50-goal mark.
Yeah, massively. So for the listeners who wouldn't be familiar with him, might not have seen him, as far as an AFL comparison, what's his body shape like? What's his style of play like? Who would you sort of compare him to?
Oh, that's a tough one, actually. So he's about 195 centimetres, left footer, real classy goal kicker. I'm trying to think, what are the current sort of AFL left footers around the place?
Is that Lance Franklin guy who's been pretty good for a couple of years?
Probably not going to.
Not going to go there?
No.
Can he take it? What's his marking prowess like?
Good overhead.
Can, yeah.
And he's good at crumbing as well for a player of his size as well. So he's a very well-rounded talent. He pressures pretty well as well when he doesn't have the footy. So, he ticks a lot of boxes.
Sounds
for
like
AFL
that
recruiters.
Modern sort of prototype where you can't just be big, you can't just be small, you have to have those all-round package skills. He sounds like he fits into that category.
Yeah, definitely. I think the scary thing is he's still living in Busselton as well. So he trains with Busselton Magpies in the southwest during the week, mm-hmm. and then drives up to Perth every Saturday with a teammate of his who's also in the State 19s, James Tunstall. So he's another one to watch in tomorrow's game, midfielder. They both actually made their league debut for Busselton together when Perth was in lockdown, because mm-hmm. they both based outside of the metro region. They got to get a game in for the Busselton Magpies. So a nice little, silver lining from the waffle getting cancelled there.
Yeah, massively. And that's Looms is a great draft story. Always those guys who put in the extra have to make those drives every week, and then hopefully certainly in this case, looks like he's going to get the payoff at AFL level. Who else in that 19s game? You've got Jed Hagan on your radar.
You mentioned driving. I think the Hagan family have done probably about 15,000 kilometres from Geraldton and back for his Colts career so far. Yes. 16 Colts games for him. Made his debut at 15. So he's one of those kids who's not the biggest kid, but he just racks up the footy and just such a smart footballer in that as well. So, yeah, I'm really excited about him. He's still only 16 and playing for the State 19, so that says a bit. Mm-hmm. He's currently the only one in both squads. So he played in WA's under-17s carnival opener against South Australia last month. Had a pretty good game. I think he racked up sort of 15 or so touches, seven tackles, so a good all-round game. And, yeah, he's got his sights set on playing in the 19s as well. I spoke with him yesterday, so that story's going probably live later this afternoon and in tomorrow's West Australian mm-hmm. as well. He's a really well-spoken young kid from...
They're good from Jero, mate. They bring him well up there.
Yeah, they really are, yeah. And he's got Harry Taylor to learn off as well, mm-hmm. the Sharks Midwest Academy coach, and obviously a Geelong great there as well. So, yeah, just another one out of the Midwest footy factory, really.
Yeah, it's a great pipeline, isn't it, out of that area coming through East Frio. And they, as I say, they always seem to be very composed, very well put together in both a footy sense and a life sense as well.
And they always make they always get an earlier sort of taste of senior footy when they're from the country as well. So Jed was another one of those ones during the lockdown week, got to play some senior footy for Brigades in the Great Northern League, and actually best on ground as well. So to do that as a 16-year-old, yeah, he's got a very, very bright future. So not draftable until next year, but yeah, getting a taste of the 19 stuff this year is going to be huge for his development. So yeah, watch this space. He's looking to move down to Perth probably during the pre-season and finish his schooling in Perth. So yeah, to be putting these sort of performances together at his age and, you know, with the, you know, driving commitments that him and his family has to do. They're in a hotel every Friday night, so not obviously the greatest preparation, but yeah, imagine him when he gets to Perth and, you know, has that, a bit more of a steady sort of preparation in heading into Waffle Colts games.
Yep, very early draft watch there for next year's draft. Who else should punters keep their eye on at the west.com.au stream tomorrow, or if you get down to the game from that 19s lineup, who else have you got your eye on?
Well, I did a top 50 champion data ranking points last week, and this kid's right at the top, Josh Brown, another kid from East Fremantle. Mm-hmm. So he's a Metro kid, so based somewhere in East Freo's metro zone. I think it might have been Booragoon or Melville or somewhere along those lines. But, yeah, just an absolute ball magnet, averaging 33 possessions. I saw him play last week and he was actually smack bang on his average in 33. Yeah, so right. Starting to hit the scoreboard a little bit as well. Kicked a nice goal last week when I watched him. And, yeah, just his progress from a bottom major last year. He was a very good bottom major, but he looks like he's put on a bit of size, added to his fitness base and that as well, and just running out games really well as well. So, yeah, become that sort of bona fide inside midfielder. And, yeah, Max Chipper is another one as well. He's averaging 30-plus disposals from Swan Districts. So he was playing PSA footy last year for Guildford, still in year 12 this year, but just sort of wanted to focus on the one thing. So moved schools to a non-PSA school in LaSalle College.
Mm-hmm.
So same as Stephen Coniglio.
Yeah. Still so, out in that sort of hillsy kind of Guildford, Midland Guildford kind of area.
And Riley Garcia as well, I think, who's playing at the Western Bulldogs. So, he's had a great year. Not only the continuity of just playing Waffle Colts every week, he had a hand issue last year as well. So in and out, I think he missed a lot of footy sort of midway through the year. So full pre-season under his belt, and he's really, loving life in the Colts at the moment. He's sort of, other than Brown, I think he's the leading possession winner in the Colts at the moment.
Sure. And as far as the 17s go, as we say, it's a really early watch on some of these kids, but what a fantastic opportunity for them to go up against the best sort of untried talent as far as the 19s go. Who are the bottom age guys who are going to stand out, you reckon, come tomorrow?
Judging by the first game of the 17s carnival, the defence is going to be really strong.
They might have their hands full.
Yeah, I think so. The ball's probably going to be up there a little bit, I reckon, dealing with guys like, you know, Jacob Van Ruin and Jack Williams and a few of those other, Jai Amis. So the forward line's going to be stacked for the 19s. So, yeah, I really liked Jed Buslinger. So he had some lower back issues last year and only sort of came back through the PSA stuff for Trinity. I think it was around midway through last season, if not sort of later on in the season. A real intercept marking defender. He finished with 18 marks against South Australia, so in a losing side as well. He was unbelievable. Him and Daniel Curtin. So Daniel Curtin plays at Claremont and Scotch College. They combined for 18 marks in the first half alone. Curtin was more of a he played more of a one-on-one kind of role, and Buslinger sort of rolled off and took a lot of intercept marks. So, they combined really nicely. So looking forward to seeing how those two go. Curtin can also play at the other end of the ground as well. So it'd be interesting to see where they put him. He's better. He's probably played more as a defender, but, one of those options who can swing at either end of the ground. And one for the Hale School, one of your old mob, Sam
Fire
Gilby.
Excellent.
At half back, and he plays his footy at Hale and Claremont, and real silky skills off half back. So he's certainly one to watch there. And Jack Cleaver, he's East Fremantle and Aquinas College as well. A real big bodied, played at half back in the 17s opener, but can play a variety of positions, can play sort of inside, mid, even kicked a goal in that 17s game as well. So looks a real sort of fierce competitor, and certainly one to watch, one that I liked in the 17s as well. It was an almost game for him. Chase Bourne, So another one for Freo fans to watch out for, part of the NGA again. So haven't they done well out of that?
They have.
Unfortunately, I reckon.
He fits in with their current theme at the moment, which is the radar just being slightly off in front of goal.
Yes, yes, 1-3. That was an off game for him. It was wet conditions. But yeah, he's going to be an absolute star. Chase Bourne, his name is. So he's had some real big games for a bottom major in the Waffle Colts as well. So, yeah, the academy stuff, or the next generation academy stuff, actually changes to top 20 next year. So it's going to be interesting to see. Oh, top 40, sorry, next year. So it's going to be interesting to see whether he falls into that zone, because the way he's going as a bottom major, I think there might be a few Freo fans worried that he might get snapped up elsewhere.
Yeah, Dockers fans certainly keeping a very close eye on those developments. Jed Buslinger, in our industry, we love names that give you a good headline name, something you can work with. And the thought of Buslinger rubbing shoulders going up against Famous Amos tomorrow at some point is just fantastic from a headline point of view. So that's got me very excited. Chase Bourne, another great name. You can do plenty with that.
Bourne Identity, Bourne Ultimatum, the chase is on.
The chase. I mean, there's just so much you can do with these guys. It's fantastic.
I wouldn't be like yourself. I do love a good headline. You almost want the player to do well when they've got a name like Buslinger or Chase Bourne or whatnot. Yeah, Amos, I've had a bit of fun with his headline already, especially the way he's kicking goals.
So. Yep, and there'll certainly be plenty more of that, the way that he's trending. So as far as some of the bigger names who won't be playing in that game tomorrow, you mentioned Jesse Motlop getting that call up to the seniors for South Freo. Who else will we not be seeing who's also just a part of that potential draft mix?
Another famous last name in Corey Warner, the younger brother of Sydney Swan, Chad. So he made his league debut last week for East Freo and has held his spot on the wing. So pretty interesting story, this one. Jesse Motlop, part of Aquinas College's first 18. So is Warner. So they've had two senior debutants in as many weeks. So a huge rap for not only East Fremantle for bringing these kids through, but Aquinas College as well. So he captains their first 18. They're on school holidays at the moment, so he's available for East Freo stuff. But yeah, looked pretty handy in the ones last week in a losing side. So yeah, certainly one to watch there, and one who's probably gone up the draft charts a little bit. He's put together a really good season at Aquinas College. I think he's one of the leading ball winners, other than the likes of Angus Sheldrick and Neil Erasmus. Yeah, so yeah, good luck to him in his second game.
Yep.
And
who else you got?
Now, Van Ruin will play. He did play seniors last week, but he's been omitted from the seniors. So it'd be good to him to have a run around with, you know, kids around his age. And, yeah, he's been dominant whenever he's played Colts footy this year. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how he goes.
It's almost a shame. I would have liked to have seen, because they Claremont play Peel this week, senior-wise. It would have been nice to see him up against some of those hardened. There's a few Dockers listed in that Peel side, so
a few in the defence. There's five. Yeah. I looked at the back six earlier today. There's five AFL listed to go with Jarvis Pina, who was on Freo's list last year. So
your
it's
Hayden Youngs, your Reece Conkers. Who else is there? I think Taylan Demand's there.
Demand, Toby Watson.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's
so it would have been a big test. Maybe that's a good thing that he hasn't been exposed to that quite so early.
He might be okay with it, though, because he trained with the Dockers earlier on in the year, and he's a Dockers supporter well. So I think there'll be a few Dockers fans hoping that he ends up in purple at the end of the year in the draft. A couple more that won't be playing. Finn Gorringe, another East Fremantle kid, another Aquinas kid, actually, but he graduated, I think, last year or the year before.
Yep.
And Jack Avery at Perth as well. They're both playing in the seniors. Erasmus, as I mentioned earlier, he's in doubt with a corky.
So you mentioned Motlop and Warner. Now, there's a bit of a running joke in our office about Jordan McArdle, who's with us today, and his fascination, his love for the father-son and the brothers and the siblings story of famous names or current AFL names that you might know. I know you've got a couple of extras for us. Who else is on your father-son, brother, sibling, family relation of someone that we know radar running around at the moment?
So someone's cousin's dog is actually going to be playing. No, Taj Woden is another father-son prospect. So
don't have to explain who that surname belongs to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty uncommon surname at that. So Yeah, the son of Brownlow medalist Shane, captains East Frio's Colts, played Aquinas' first 18 last year. Looked really good in the midfield last game when I saw him, and can play sort of half back and that as well. Looks good skills. He looked really strong overhead as well on Saturday when I saw him play. So Melbourne get first access to him. So the father-son stuff doesn't matter when they're picked. Sort of thing. It's first access no matter what, because his dad played 100-plus games for
Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah. So he'll be playing for the 19s. He's put together a good season of Waffle Colts. So, yeah, a natural leader, a good kid, works hard. So, yeah, he's certainly going to be on not only Melbourne's radar, but I'm sure a few other AFL clubs as well. They've had a couple over here, haven't they, lately? They obviously had Kobe Farmer, the son of Jeff.
Son of the Wiz.
Yeah, so he almost got picked up, trained with Melbourne during the pre-season ahead of the SSP period, but didn't get picked up. So he's back in the Waffle Colts, not playing in the 19s or anything this year. But, yeah, they've done okay. I'm not 100% sure whether Ed Allen is going to be playing, the son of Ben, who you obviously had on the podcast a few weeks ago. Plays his footy at Claremont and Scotch. So he might be playing for the 17s. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But, yeah, a couple of famous surnames to look out for.
Most definitely. And I'm sure some characteristics that will be familiar to people who have watched their relatives as well when we watch them in action. You touched on your draft power rankings, which went up on the West a few days ago. Neil Erasmus was the big one here. And you mentioned this earlier. You're big on him going with a bullet, as you say. He's just had that slight setback. But he's certainly moving in the right direction as far as the top WA prospects ahead of this year's draft, right?
Yeah, is he ever? I thought when I saw him play a couple of Colts games late in the season, I was a bit worried. He was dominating at PSA level and just looked like he struggled to make that next step, but something clicked. And, yeah, he had an unbelievable Waffle Colts grand final, led Subiaco to an upset win. Would have been, I reckon, second in the Mel Winnen medal behind Lachlan Van Ersen.
Sure.
Kicked four goals, and I felt like that was his real breakout game, and he just hasn't looked back since. Played mainly as a forward last year with bursts in the midfield, but looks a real out-and-out midfielder now. The only knock on his game is probably his kicking, but he looks like he's slowly improved that this year as well. So averaging, I think, around the 35 possession mark in PSA footy, and really dominated in his Colts games as well for Subiaco as well. So attracting a lot of interest and a real bolter from where he was this time last year to where he is now is really exciting. He's gone from, a possible rookie late round pick to potentially WA's first pick. It's a bit different to last year where you had your Logan McDonalds, your Denver Granger Barras, your Heath Chapman, those sort of guys who felt like they were a first round, almost a lock from very early on in the season last year. But could be any one of about 3, 4, 5 WA kids that could go first. But right now I'd say Erasmus is nearly leading the race.
Yeah. So you mentioned some of those guys from last year's draft class, and just going through some of the AFL debutants from that class so far this year: Tyler Brockman, Logan McDonald, as you said, Heath Chapman, Isaiah Winder, Brandon Walker, Joel Weston, Denver Granger Barras, and then throw in, as well as that, guys who have made their debuts from previous draft classes this year. So Jackson Pryor, Ronan O'Connor at Adelaide, Riley Garcia, not to mention Alec Waterman, obviously, out of the system, and now two mature ages in Matty Parker and Connor West getting their chance this weekend. So been a really good year for WA kids coming through. We'll get to the mature ages in a second, but as far as how this year's draft class stacks up with last year's, how it's sort of shaping, as you said, there probably doesn't look like there's going to be that same level of absolute top-end talent, but as far as an overall draft class goes, how do you sort of compare it to 2020?
I think it'll be more quantity over quality. I don't feel like there's that real top-end talent that, lock him in for a top 10 pick. You look at Logan McDonald, he was talked about as a potential pick one. Even Denver was at times, and they both went top 10. Yeah, top five. Yep. Yeah. So I think, yeah, you can't really compare it to that one in terms of top end quality. There's, you know, you might sneak in for a couple of first rounders. You know, maybe a Van Ruin out at Claremont or Matt Johnson out at Subi. They're both in the mix as well. Rhett Bazzo, he's probably fallen away a little bit. He'd probably be more of a, you know, second, third round prospect. But yeah, Jack Williams could also be WA's first one picked. He's East Fremantle kid, about 195, 196 centimetres, plays ruck, plays key forward, plays key back. He's, yeah, got a lot of attributes, comes from a basketball background as well, so got that good sort of spatial awareness and really nice athletic attributes as well, a really good engine for someone his size as well. So, yeah, I've seen him put in some really big games in all of those sort of positions, so that certainly gets recruiters excited because, you know, you don't want someone who can just play that one position out and out because, you know, it's not, it might not fill that specific hole. You kind of need someone that has that versatility, and Jack Williams certainly ticks that one. So wouldn't be surprised if he's the first WA kid picked up. But yeah, there's quite a few in the first, second round mix, but in terms of an out and out top 10, I think it's probably unlikely at this stage unless someone has a really, really big 19s carnival.
Sure. So away from WA, how do you see, there's been sort of two or three names bandied about for that overall number one pick. So Nick Dacos has been talked about a hell of a lot this year, obviously has the famous surname, as does Sam Darcy, who's Luke's son, who can go father-son at the Dogs. And then there's Jason Horn as well, who's a product out of South Australia. How do you see those three or anyone else shaping up in the race for number one?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. There's the two father-son talents in Dacos and Darcy. Darcy's sort of come not out of nowhere, but it was always Dacos v. Horn, but all of a sudden the performances Sam Darcy's been putting on the park, he's put himself right up there for a potential number one pick as well.
He's not the only S. Darcy who's had a big few weeks, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a skinny kid, though.
He's the opposite Sean Darcy, isn't he?
Sean Darcy's a massive lad, but yeah, looks a real talent. Can kick goals, can play in the ruck. Still got a bit of size to put on. It's probably a longer term prospect, but haven't the Bulldogs done well out of there?
Yes, very much
access.
So.
Obviously, Jamari Ewhagen made his debut last week, went pick one, and could potentially have 2 years in a row where they're forced to use their draft deficit points to get the top pick. So
yeah, it's a good problem to have.
I think you could nearly guarantee that Jason Horn will be the first legitimate pick in the draft in terms of, you know, North Melbourne will bid on Dacos and Darcy, but those bids will be matched. Sorry, I'm assuming North Melbourne's going to finish last, but they beat West Coast on Monday.
Can't assume anything at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I mean, if Adelaide end up falling to last place, they'd be pretty happy to snap up Horn with pick one, a South Adelaide boy who there's a tackle that has gone viral at the moment with Darcy Fogarty. Mm-hmm. Absolutely crunched him, the Adelaide Crow in the sandful. So, yeah, I think the Crows would be hoping.
Might be his future teammate.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that'd be awkward, won't it? So,
also a good headline name, Jason Horn. It's like Jason Bourne, the Bourne ultimatum, the Horn supremacy. There's lots you can do with it.
I think so, yeah. Like teams getting a bit horny over Jason Horn.
Yeah, okay. You just had to take it down a notch, didn't you? I was trying to keep it classy. The two mature ages, as I said, we'll start with Matty Parker because he's playing tonight. That Richmond game is Friday night against the Lions, someone you have seen a lot of over the past few years at waffle level. What are we going to expect from this guy tonight? He's going to do a couple of things that will just stand out, won't they? There'll be some people who listen to this pod maybe on Saturday after he's already played and go, oh yeah, he did that and did that last night. What are we expecting from him on debut?
He's got speed. He's, you know, explosive. He's got that little bit of X factor about him as well. And I thought he was pretty unlucky to be cut at St Kilda, probably a victim of the list cuts and, you know, smaller list sizes. So Yeah, I thought he was a little bit unlucky. He was dealing with some ankle issues in his last season at St Kilda as well. And I spoke with him a couple of months ago, so probably a month or so before the mid-season draft, and he just had that real look in his eye that he had a point to prove to St Kilda that he was still worthy of being on an AFL list. And, yeah, there's a lot to like about Matty Parker. Seems you know, really, really nice sort of bloke as well. So, yeah, all the best to Matty. I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm glad he got a second chance at Richmond. And yeah, it's a silver lining out of their current struggles to get a game into someone like Matty Parker, who I think is going to take this chance with both hands.
Yep, great redemption story, hopefully, fingers crossed. And Connor West, obviously of massive interest to West Coast fans. They really had to make a bit of a statement at selection after that Monday night performance against North Melbourne and the 2 weeks prior to that as well. And Connor West was sort of in the frame for that debut, and then they confirmed that nice and early on Thursday. Another guy you've seen a lot of at waffle level with the Falcons. What are you expecting from him when he breaks into that Eagles midfield come Sunday?
Oh, he's put together an outstanding body of work. And
big numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It usually takes a little bit of time to, you know, he's played at a new club the last month. So it's, I know it's still in the same competition that, but it's a new system to learn, and he's just hit the ground running. He's, I think he had 30 odd disposals again at the weekend. So a massive loss for West Perth, but a huge, I thought it was almost a bit of a shock. I thought he'd had the attributes to play at AFL level, but just wasn't attracting that interest. So it was a bit of a mid-season draft curveball almost. I wrote about a lot of other guys, but probably not a massive amount about Connor West. So I'm glad he's got his opportunity. He's one of those ones that was in the mix in his 18th year, but like his coach, Jeff Valentine at West Perth said, just he's probably in that perfect age bracket now to really, you know, hit the AFL hard. And, you know, he's put on a bit of size since his 18th year, added to his fitness, and just gone back, and he was doing concreting or some sort of labouring work, and, you know, just bought a house. So he had his off-field life really on track and that as well. So it looks like he's in a really good space in his life and physically as well to have a really good crack at the AFL. So good to see the Eagles rewarding that. Be interesting to see whether he, you know, plays inside mid, or do they start him across half forward with some bursts in the midfield. But he certainly knows how to find the footy and hit the scoreboard and that as well. So, yeah, really looking forward to seeing how he goes against Adelaide on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully gets a few cracks in that engine room. We know Jack Redden's not there. Tim Kelly seems to be in some sort of doubt as well. And you do feel like they probably need to inject a couple more guys into that sort of centre bounce stoppage. So hopefully he does get a couple of chances through there. Must be real heartening for some of the guys to see more and more of these stories coming through, in that your draft year isn't the be-all and end-all. If you're not quite in that frame, or if you do get overlooked, if you're good enough and you can build that resume, then you'll get found by teams and you'll get found by recruiters. Must be really heartening for kids who are sort of battling away and do get overlooked to go, hey, I can be like Connor West and make that sort of late entry.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's spot on. Yeah, there's another who I think be a good chance in the national or rookie drafts later in the year in Greg Clark, who he captained WA's under 18s back, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago now. And yeah, he's putting together a really, really good season. I was surprised he didn't get any mid-season draft interest. He decided not to nominate purely because he didn't have any interest. So I think he might be one of those ones, if he keeps putting the performances on the board that he did for the first half of the year, he'll not only end up with a Sandover medal around his neck, I think he'll be a strong chance of getting drafted as well. So looking forward to seeing how he goes in the back end of the year.
Absolutely. A quick PSA update. As you mentioned there, on holidays, Aquinas has been thrown up about 10 times during our conversation already, because they're just such a fine breeding ground for some of the top talent coming through. So it's there. It appears to be them and Scotch in the mix for this year's trophy, right?
Yeah, it feels like it's a real two-horse race. Scotch were actually undefeated until the last round before the school holidays, when Aquinas knocked them off. So a massive, massive result there. And it wasn't only I think it ended up being 30 or 40 points. So it was a big win there for Aquinas to really show their Alco Cup credentials there. So the 19s Carnival might throw up a few sort of spanners in the works, I guess, with Motlop and Warner potentially being unavailable for a few weeks there. So I feel like a lot of the Scotch College guys are were on the fringe of the 19 squad, like Max Mummy, Lewis Crump. There's a couple of really big names there that were a little bit unlucky to not make the 19 squad, and sure, they'll be huge in their I guess their chances of defending the Alco mm-hmm. Cup, because they got a little bit of a touch up in the last round, so they're one apiece. So they've already played each other twice now, Aquinas and Scotch. Scotch won just in the first matchup, but Aquinas won pretty comfortably there. So it looks like a two horse race. I think the others are a bit far back now. But one team I've been really impressed with is Wesley. They won just the one game last year, but they've mm-hmm. They've gone to another level this year under Michael Broadbridge. You look at their coaching staff's unbelievable, really. They got Broadie there and Shane Woden's their midfield coach. Luke Dwyer, who was coaching at West Coast AFLW side. I think their Waffle side at one point mm-hmm. as well. So he's their head of sports. So it's a hell of a coaching staff there. Trinity, they had Clint Tester resign as coach after their last game. Darren Harris, he makes a return to coaching ranks. He obviously last coached at Claremont in the Waffle Grand Final. So, he's going to add a lot to mm-hmm. that. So he's not their full-time coaches yet. It's just an interim role at the moment. They've obviously got Andrew Embley back there as well for the rest of the season. So a Trinity old boy.
Yep.
Played in at least one Alco Cup there at Trinity, and Norm Smith medalist. We all know about his AFL career. So a couple of really highly credentialed coaches there for Trinity as they look to get on a win on the board for 2021.
Mate, before we let you get out of here, Bush and Burbs is going to drop this afternoon, hopefully.
That's the plan. Subscribers at it was going to drop yesterday afternoon and then this morning, but hopefully get it.
A couple of little nuggets of gold have you got in there that you can tease our fans with for this afternoon?
The Krah brothers, 21 goals between them. So it was a comeback of sorts for both of them. Mark Lacroix's first game since the 2018 AFL Grand Final.
So this is for Cervantes. And just for anyone who's not sitting down before you tell this final winning margin, what was that winning margin in that game?
248 points.
248 point winning margin. Just sneaked home.
I think it was
just fell over the line at the end.
I think it was 260 to one goal, two or something along those lines. One goal.
So what's that? Like four? Yeah, so like 40 goals.
Yeah,
what's 248? So yeah, 40 goals. Is that maths right?
It's about that, yeah. Yeah, so
41 goals. And crikey.
So Mark, 5 goals for him in his return.
Mm-hmm.
But older brother Brent, who I put number one in the Bush and Burbs player of the decade.
How many?
He hasn't played himself for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
He didn't play last year because of COVID. I'm not even sure if he might have played the year before.
Just a sneaky bag of 16.
16, yeah. So he's nearly...
Just 16.
He's nearly 40. I think he's 38, 39. So, he's... For those who don't know, played at North Melbourne mm-hmm. and a great of the West Perth footy club. So... but he's won, I think, 7 flags at Savannah. His country footy CV is something else, mm-hmm. So that certainly gives them an extra leg heading into the back end of the season. They're an absolute powerhouse. I think they've won, I think it was 21 of the last 23 Central Midlands Coastal flags. So they are, unbelievable.
Pretty safe bet, the Tiger Sharks, if you're ever punting on footy in that region. If any markets are out, get on the Lacroix brothers while they're combining for 21 goals.
A few other interesting clearances before the June 30
tell me.
Deadline. Aaron Sanderlands to Wickapen. Mm. Now, I spoke with someone at their club. They're in the Upper Great Southern. For those who don't know, it was more on the off chance that he'll play. He's good mates with the coach there in Shane Thompson.
Okay.
So one of those ones, get the clearance in before June 30 and just wait and see. Right. So I've written about Sandy a couple of times. He was cleared to North Fremantle last year and I heard that he was going to play, but that didn't eventuate. So it's one of those ones we all hope that he's going to play. Well, not all of us.
I mean, imagine being a ruckman for, Williams or whatever and walking to the centre bounce and go, oh, shit.
Or for our colleague Braden Quatermain's home club.
Narrogin.
Yeah. His brother, Perrin.
Yes, Perrin Quatermain.
He's actually a ruckman himself. So
yeah,
imagine
good luck against Sandy.
Imagine rocking up to an Upper Great Southern game and seeing Sandy in the centre square. So yeah, there'll be a few people hoping that he doesn't play, but it'd be an amazing story if he does. Same comp as where Matt Prittis has been playing this year for Williams. Not only playing, he's been dominating.
Yep,
so
of course.
Another clearance to look out for, Ben Stratton, the former Hawthorn captain, and what did he win? Four flags at Hawthorn as well. So he's been cleared to his home club in Augusta Margaret River in the southwest. It seems like a lot more of a chance that he'll play than Sandy.
Sure.
So looking forward to seeing if he sneaks a couple of games for the Hawks.
Yeah.
In the southwest.
Good. Back to his home roots.
Yeah, because he's living down in Dunsborough right now. So, yeah, hopefully he sneaks in the game there. And another who played in the last couple of weeks, Nathan Cracker, the ex-Port Adelaide and Gold Coast Suns player. He returned for Mount Barker, kicked a couple of goals as well in a team against a team who had Brett Peake as well. So another ex-AFL player playing for the Albany Sharks. So
plenty of familiar names, as always, running around in Bush and Burbs. You can catch that full wrap at thewest.com.au from Friday afternoon. Geordie, we'll let you get out of here, mate, and crack on with your day. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure the listeners have enjoyed listening to, well, getting a bit of a gauge on where WA's kids are primed and placed ahead of the coming months. Obviously a big time in their career. So thanks and best of luck on the call tomorrow.
No worries at all. Any time I'm available to chat about pretty much any league other than AFL at the moment, aren't I?
We certainly enjoy it, mate. And thanks to our listeners, and thanks also to our friends at Mazda and the Mazda BT50. It is the complete package. Don't miss the 2-minute warning. Back on Monday, and enjoy your weekend of footy. We'll chat to you next week.